Go back over in your Bibles to John 17 tonight, and I want to look at the phrase we looked at last Wednesday night and then just say a few words about it tonight. John chapter 17, five times in the chapter, our Lord said as he was praying to his Father that they may be one, even as we are one. If you look over here, we'll start reading in verse number 10. Jesus said, "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are one." You drop down to verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Let's pray this moment. Father, thank you tonight for our precious people that are gathered here this evening. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather around this old book, the Bible. Lord, we thank you for these great songs. Lord, these people that wrote these songs, Lord, they knew you. They walked with you. And Father, tonight I pray that as we open the Bible tonight, look at a few verses of Scripture, God, that you just minister to our hearts tonight. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, just to bless in a special way. And God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord began to work in my heart yesterday morning, and I think I just now realized maybe why that he worked this way in my heart. Let me just give you a little bit of a background on that. You know, I said last Wednesday night that I just praise God for the unity that we have, and that the Lord sometimes gives us a message, not because there's a problem, you know what I mean, but just to encourage us to keep the unity. The Bible uses those three words, actually, one of the epistles, keep the unity and the bond of peace, I believe it talked about. But the other night I was at a ball game. I was watching Aubrey, and I got to be very careful because I'm just going to speak in generic terms because it's just the way it needs to be. But a lady said to me, said, "Preacher, how's it going over Babel way?" And I said, "It's going good, sis." I said, "They just need a good pastor." And she chuckled, you know what I mean. And she said, "You mean you don't have any problems?" I said, "Well, not that I know of." And I said, you know what she meant by problems, don't you? And Brother John, you talked to me the other day on the phone and asked about this situation that I'm talking about tonight. But anyway, I said, "No, sis." I said, "I thank God for people." And I said, "I've been there 5 years. And, you know, it doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not. You don't have a perfect pastor. We're not perfect families, not perfect people. But I'm telling you, we have something to be thankful for tonight." And so yesterday morning I was looking at the Word of God, and this all started with one verse of Scripture. And then in my mind I went back to last Wednesday night, and I'm going to get on with it here in a minute, but went back to that Jesus praying that they may be one. Let me ask you a question tonight. Would Jesus ask the Father for something that's impossible for us to do. Well, it would be unreasonable for my son-in-law, for Bob, to request something of Sawyer that's impossible for him to do. The other day, when Miss Eve left me to watch the kids. Bad mistake. Anyway, the other day I went in the kitchen. My phone was dying, and she was just going to run over to Elizabeth a few minutes, come right back. She said, "Can you watch?" "Oh, yeah, I'll watch the kids, no problem." Sawyer's in bed asleep. And I went in the kitchen to plug my phone up, and I turned around, and there he was up against the wall in the kitchen. And I said, "Sawyer, did you get out of the bed?" He just looked at me. I mean, it's pretty obvious he got out of the bed. No one ever told me he could do that. It shocked me, amen. I mean, I'd be poking my nose through the door every 5 minutes if I knew he could get out of the bed, because you never know what that boy's going to get into. Anyway, I took him back in the bedroom, and I said, "Sawyer, I said, I want you to show Papa how you did that." And all he thought he was in trouble. He just like, "Yes, you know what I mean?" I set him over in the bed. I said, "Show Papa, how did you do that?" He just stood there. So I went a little bit, put a little bit of distance between me and him, and I sat on the edge of the bed. I said, "Papa just wants to know, how did you do that?" And when it finally clicked, he grinned from ear to ear. Brother Houston, he looked like Spider-Man coming out of there. He was stretched out between that big bed and that crib, down through there he come. I said, "Okay, I see. I know now that that crib ain't going to hold you. That used to be a jail, but it's not a jail anymore. It ain't going to hold you." You say, "Why'd you say that, preacher?" Well, you wouldn't ask Sawyer to do something he couldn't do. I asked Sawyer to show me how that he got out of the crib because I knew he could do it. He had already done it. And so Jesus is praying that they may be one. And I want to look at some things tonight that I think will be interesting. And I hope that it will be tonight. How is it possible that the church of the living God can actually be that answer to prayer when Jesus said that they may be one as we are one, that the world might know, that the world might believe? How is that even possible? Let me give you a few things tonight. First of all, we can be one because there's one Spirit. Listen to what the Bible said. This is the text verse right here. The Bible said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." I believe that it's okay for Jesus to pray that we be one because there's only one Spirit. Everybody in this room tonight that got in the body of Christ got in by the same Spirit. It was the same Spirit that pricked our hearts. It was the same Spirit, beloved, that proved us guilty before God. It was the same Spirit that converted us, that birthed us into the family of God and put us in the body of Christ. And so tonight, the Bible said in verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "But he that is joined unto the Lord," listen, "is one Spirit." I want to ask you a question tonight, kind of personal. Are you joined to the Lord? I am. Say amen. I got saved by the grace of God. That joined me up with Him. Now, the Bible didn't say, "But he that is joined unto the Lord has the same Spirit," or got joined by the same Spirit. The Bible said, "He that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit." Think about that tonight. Okay, how can we be one? There's one Spirit. Ephesians 2:18 said, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So every time we pray, our prayers get to God the same way. Everybody's prayers by one Spirit, it's carried from here to heaven, from here to the throne of grace. I think that's precious tonight. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 said, "There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are all called in the hope of your calling." In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Let me just say something tonight. I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's things going on in the legislature of the United States of America today, and has been for some time, that is not becoming to the legislature of the United States of America. I mean that. And sometimes that includes the executive branch. Help me tonight. It's just not becoming. And I believe tonight, one thing we could ask ourselves, and when anything is in question, is that becoming of the gospel of Christ? Jesus said that there may be one. There's one spirit. There's one body. And then the Word of God teaches us there's one Lord. Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know, this kind of tonight might seem elementary, but I just thank God tonight I'm not trying to figure out which Lord I'm supposed to follow. There ain't but one. There's a lot of little G-O-D-S's in the world, amen, but there's only one Lord. And they knew that. In the book of Deuteronomy, God told him. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I like it tonight. How could we be? How could it be possible that we could be one? There's one spirit. There's one body. There's one Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 6, But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. The Word of God said in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 5, One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. I thank God for that tonight. Jesus didn't pray for us, pray to the Father and ask the Father that we could be something that we don't have the capacity to be. He said, there's one spirit, there's one body, there's one Lord. Then he said here, there's one faith and there's one baptism. I want to say this tonight, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. I believe Brother Steve touched on that verse a while ago. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a thing going on in the world. All religions, all steeples point up. All religions point to God. There's a problem with that. Let me tell you what the Bible, what the problem with that is. This one book. The Bible. And we have one book tonight. Think about what the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible said, And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. That was the unity. And into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. They didn't speak to Ezra and say, Bring one of the books. Bring the latest book. Bring the book that suits us the best. They're writing Bibles today, beloved. Listen, it's about money, and it's about not calling sin, sin anymore. It's about bypassing the blood and leaving it out. But I thank God tonight we shouldn't have a problem being one because we just have one book. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord for that tonight. By the way, I like that around here, but that would change our church world in general, Brother Houston. Amen. Keep pastors from being jealous of one another, afraid they're going to lose somebody. If they just realize, beloved, listen, God, my friend, the same God that saved me, saved them. Say amen. And saved them, saved me. Listen, there's only one book. I'm glad I have it settled in my heart tonight. I like to say it like this, that the King James Bible, the Bible said holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There are people in the world that years ago, I don't know what they call them now, they call them Ruckmanites. They would follow Peter Ruckman, and what Peter Ruckman taught was that the writers of the King James Bible were inspired. I don't believe that. I believe that in the English-speaking language, God preserved His Word. to the English-speaking people. I believe it was a holy men of God, holy men of old. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And God brought it out of the Greek and out of the Hebrew and gave it to us in this King James Bible. That's what I believe. God didn't have to inspire it twice. He said His Word would be preserved to every generation. Thank God tonight for the Bible. Thank God for this one book. 2 Peter, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was the same Holy Ghost. That's how you can have, oh, I used to know it by heart. There's 66 books. We know that. Is there, oh, no, that's not the right number. How many writers? Does anybody know how many different writers there are in the Bible? I used to know that by heart. Anybody know? Somebody's Googling it right now. Say amen. But there's a bunch of them. How is it that it can all jive? It can all line up? I tell you how. Same author. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. How many? How many different writers? 40. 40. I was going to say 39, but that's books in the Old Testament. Amen. I get all confused with numbers sometimes. Amen. How can you have that many different writers in different places? From different backgrounds. Brother Brian, they weren't all doctors. I mean, some of them were, as far as education goes, had very little education. Some of them have great deal. Luke was a doctor, but Peter was a fisherman. How can all these guys write? Same author. The same God was speaking. And they were penning down the words that God. I like that tonight. Jesus prayed, and He prayed right. That they may be one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me. Let me give you this tonight. I believe that when you think about this unity, when you think about this oneness, there's a picture of it in the Word of God. And I don't think we should ever lose sight of this. The picture is this. It's a picture in marriage where that God takes two and makes them one. Y'all are aware of that, right? Now watch this. Listen to some of these verses. The Bible said in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Let me just say this tonight. This is free of charge. I didn't mean to say it, but where we get in trouble a lot of times, somebody ain't ready to leave mommy. Ain't ready to leave daddy. Are you listening to me? If you ain't ready to leave mommy, and you ain't ready to leave daddy, you ain't ready to get married. Well, that was weak. I'd say that to anybody, anywhere. If you can't leave mama and you can't leave daddy, you ain't ready to get married. And mom and daddy ought to keep their nose out of it, too. Somebody help me tonight. The Bible's talking about a picture here of the church. Matthew 19:5. He said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Matthew 19:6. Wherefore there are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they twain shall be one flesh. In Mark 10:8. They are no more twain but one flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Ephesians 5:31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. How many believes tonight that in marriage Jesus is looking for a picture of the bride and the bridegroom, that being the church, and the Lord Jesus Christ? No wonder he said, they that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. No wonder. I believe tonight that if you look back with me for just a moment, and I'll be done just a little bit, look back at the early church. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This was before the day of Pentecost. Jesus told him to go to Jerusalem and to wait until they be endued with power from on high. And that brought them together in the early church was an answer to Jesus' prayer. That which keeps us together in the church is an answer to Jesus' prayer. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. I say tonight, that's the same God. Over there in the beginning, God created. The Bible said, "And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made." And so tonight, you see that one accord in the early church. And the people in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 6, getting a little later now, this is over there where the eunuch got saved in the desert, and the people... Philip's having that revival, and the Bible said the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And then Philippians, this is the way Paul said. He said, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. So Jesus gave us all that we need to be one. One book. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit. An early church to exemplify these things. I'll tell you tonight, one of the things that's missing in our generation, please, hear me well right here, is the fear of the Lord. I've been saved for over 30 years, and I've seen some things and heard some things among God's people that I'd be afraid to do. And I'm going to tell you something else. Listen to me carefully right here. Listen to me carefully. If the Lord was as hard on the church today as he was with Ananias and Sapphira, I believe there'd be more people besides Pastor afraid. Somebody's helped me, amen? They came down there and, you know, did you sell it? So we sold all of our property, and they came in there and lied. And Peter said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And then Sapphira comes in and said, you sell it for so much? She said, yep, so much. She fell dead right there. Let that happen a Sunday or two, and people begin to think about it, wouldn't they? Say amen. God is long-suffering, but that shouldn't keep us from wanting to be what he wants us to be. That's one, even as we are one. I want to say this tonight in closing, that I've got a scripture here. Watch this. I think this is important. In Revelation 19 and verse number 1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. I don't know why I've never picked up on this before. But you can see here in the verse that there's much people. But the Bible didn't speak, Brother Steve, about great voices. It's important. It said it was a great voice. Let's read it again. The Bible said here, and after these things I heard a great voice. One voice, much people, one voice. I think that's important. I believe that's the way it's going to be in heaven. When we holler, hallelujah. Glory. Honor. unto the Lord our God. Amen. One heaven. There's not a Baptist heaven and a Presbyterian heaven and a Catholic heaven and a Methodist heaven. There's one heaven. And an individual, in order to enter that heaven, must be born again. Must be bought by the blood of God's darling Son. The Bible said in Revelation 21 and verse 2, when I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared, watch this, as a bride adorned for her husband. I believe what Jesus prayed for tonight is important, number one. But I believe what Jesus prayed for tonight is possible. He didn't pray for the impossible, for us to do what we could not do. He prayed for us to do what we very well can do and gave us everything we need to do what he prayed for. I like that, don't you? I want to stop tonight and say, what a Savior. Amen. Amen. What a Savior. I want to stop and say, what a Bible. What a Spirit that dwells in us tonight. Have you ever grieved him? I have. Are you glad that when you grieve him, he lets you know that you grieved him? I am. Where would we be tonight if he didn't correct us? Where would we be tonight if we were left to our own selves? Where would we be tonight if he hadn't given us all that we talked about tonight and so much more? I'm just glad you come tonight. That there may be one, even as we are one. I appreciate you putting up with me. I had to get that off of my heart tonight. I looked at that yesterday. We're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and God immediately took me back to last Wednesday night, to the night before. You know, tonight, I believe with all my heart that God's still on the throne. He's coming soon. That's one of the things, Brother Gary, that promoted that unity in that early church. If you really study it out, I mean, they were just getting started, but they were looking for him just any day. That's one of the reasons their property didn't mean nothing to them. I mean, they just, you know, they sold, brought it, laid it at the feet of the disciples and gave to the poor. They gave to everybody. And I just say tonight, we shouldn't let our roots, our stakes get driven too deep down here. Let's be like Abraham, just live in a tent and be ready to pull up stakes and go home. Amen. Look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I have another building, Brother Ralph. Amen. Not made with hands. Anybody got a word on your heart tonight before we go?